All right, so we're ready for another deep dive. And you know I love these. Today, we're taking a look at PCA and how it fits into data pre-processing.
Sounds exciting.
Oh, it is, especially with the stuff you sent over. You've got this Python code that's working with the MNIST dataset, plus a whole document all about data pre-processing.
Yeah, should be fun to break it all down.
For sure. And I think, actually, I'm pretty sure we'll have some of those aha moments along the way. I mean, I already feel one coming on.
I feel it too.
So let's jump right into it. This code snippet we've got here, it's using the MNIST dataset. Now, for anyone who's not familiar, could you give us a quick rundown of what that is?
Sure. MNIST is basically this huge collection of, well, handwritten digits, zeros through nines, all written out.
Like actual people wrote these.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the go-to data set when you're teaching a model to recognize handwriting. It's a classic for image recognition.
Okay, cool. So we've got all these handwritten digits, and then the code starts using PCA. But before we even get to that, I'm curious, why is pre-processing even necessary here?
Well, think about it. You've got all these different handwriting styles, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Different sizes, different even thicknesses in the way people write. Pre-processing helps us level the playing field.
I like that, leveling the playing
You
field.
know, like getting everything on the same page before we start analyzing anything.
Yeah. So you're saying it's kind of like getting all the data to speak the same language first.
Exactly. And your document, it mentions normalization and standardization.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Normalization, think of it like this. You have a bunch of photos, all different sizes, and you want to fit them nicely on, say, Instagram, right?
Makes sense. So you resize them all.
Exactly. That's normalization in a nutshell.
And what about standardization?
Okay, for standardization, imagine you're taking a group photo, but everyone's standing at different heights. Standardization's like making sure everyone in that photo is at the same height, even though they weren't originally. So it's about adjusting those differences.
Okay, I'm with you. So we're cleaning up the data, making it all nice and consistent. But then where does PCA come in? Because I see it's being used right after those pre-processing steps.
Right, so PCA is like this, imagine you're trying to solve a giant puzzle, right?
Oh, I love puzzles.
PCA helps us find those hidden patterns, like the key pieces that make the whole picture clearer.
Okay, I could see that. But in terms of the data itself, what's actually happening?
Well, with MNIST, each image is made up of 784 pixels. So that's a lot of features to deal with. PCA swoops in and simplifies things by figuring out which features are the most important, the ones that really capture the shape of each digit.
It's finding the essence of the data, basically.
Exactly. It helps us reduce noise and redundancy, gets rid of the stuff that isn't really crucial for understanding the digits.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the code, and I see this line, plt.plot, np.com some pca.explain variance. What's happening with that plot? What's it showing us?
Ah, good eye. That line is visually showing us what we call the cumulative explained variance.
Cumulative explained variance.
Yeah, it's a mouthful, but it's actually pretty cool once you break it down. Think of variance as how spread out our data is. If it's
Yeah.
high variance, our data points are all over the place. Low variance, they're clustered together.
Okay, so high variance is like things are kind of wild all over the map. And then explained variance, you were saying.
Right, explained variance tells us how much of that wildness, that spread, is captured by each principal component. And the plot itself, it helps us figure out how many of these components we actually need to keep.
To get a good representation of the data.
Precisely, without getting bogged down in all that extra noise we talked about.
So it's like a guide telling you how much juice you're getting out of the data with each component.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. We're looking for the steepest climb at the beginning because that means we're explaining a lot of the variance with just a few components.
So more bang for your buck, basically.
You got it. It's all about finding that sweet spot, balancing simplification without losing too much information.
All right, I think we've got a good handle on pre-processing and what that line to the plot is telling us. So next up, I'm kind of curious to see how all this PCA magic actually affects the model's performance. What do you say? We move on to that.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see how those accuracy scores come into play. So about those accuracy scores we were talking about, the ones in the code, like accuracy with 10 PCA components, ascent 8091, what do they actually tell us?
Yeah, what do those numbers actually mean for the model? I did notice they seem to be going up as we add more components.
Right. Well, these scores are basically showing us how well the model does on, remember, the test data after we've applied PCA with a certain number of those components.
Okay, yeah, the data it hasn't seen before, right? To make sure it's actually learning something.
Exactly. So if we just use a few components, well, we're simplifying the data a lot, right?
Right.
But then as we increase those components, we're keeping more of the original information, which usually means better accuracy.
Makes sense. But I guess you can't just use like a ton of components then, right?
That's the thing. There's a trade-off. It's almost like, I don't know, like finding the right balance of ingredients in a recipe or something.
Ooh, I like that analogy.
Sometimes if you use too many components, it can actually mess things up, like you're adding too much salt to the dish.
Oh, I see. So it's about finding that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Now, there's this other line of code here that's creating an image. plt.mshowpcser.reshape2828. What's going on with that? What is this image actually showing us?
This is where things get really interesting. So this image, it's actually showing us the first principal component.
Okay.
It's basically showing us like the direction where the data is most spread out, you know, the variance we were talking about.
Right, like the most dominant pattern.
Exactly. And remember we were talking about variance, like how spread out the data is. This first component is capturing the direction where it's the most spread out.
Wow. So we're actually seeing the pattern that explains most of the variation in how people write those digits.
Precisely.
That's super cool. But
yeah,
we've been focusing on handwritten digits this whole time. What about other types of data? Like your document mentions finance.
Oh, absolutely. Imagine you're working with, let's say, financial data, like stock prices, interest rates, currencies, all that stuff. That's a lot of variables.
Yeah, it's a lot to keep track of.
Right. So PCA can actually help us find the underlying things that are driving those market movements. So instead of looking at, you know, thousands of individual stock prices, PCA might say, hey, it's this combination of interest rates and oil prices that are actually explaining most of the market's movement.
So it's like PCA helps you zoom out and see the bigger picture, the key things that are really driving things.
Exactly. And it's not just finance either. I mean, PCA is used in genetics, compressing images, facial recognition. I mean, you name it.
It's like this multi-tool for data, basically.
Yeah. And remember that line plot we talked about? The one that shows how much of the variance we're explaining, that's really important when we're deciding how many of those components to keep, no matter what kind of data we're working with.
Yeah, it's like a map that helps you navigate through the data, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm definitely starting to see how PCA could be really useful, like in all sorts of fields.
Oh, for sure. It's all about finding those hidden patterns and relationships, the stuff that you might not notice just by looking at the raw data. And once you see those patterns, well, you can start making better decisions, whether it's in finance or genetics or anything else.
It's like having this secret decoder ring for data. Okay, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about how PCA simplifies data while keeping the important stuff, those accuracy scores, even visualize that first principal component.
It's been quite the deep dive.
It really has. So what do you say we wrap things up with some final thoughts and key takeaways? So we've gone through this whole journey with PCA, seen how it helps us make sense of data, break it down.
Yeah.
But what's the big like takeaway here? Why should someone care about PCA?
I think the truly fascinating part is how PCA gives us this way to like grasp complexity. In a world where there's just data everywhere, you know.
That's overwhelming.
It's like a tool to find the signal in the noise, you know.
Yeah.
Boil things down to their essence.
I love that, finding the signal in the noise. Yeah. And we've seen how it's not just about, you know, making data simpler, but doing it in a way that doesn't lose the important stuff.
Right, exactly. And that's where that plot, that line showing us the cumulative explained variance, that's where it comes in.
Right. It helps us figure out, like, how much we can simplify before we start losing too much information.
Exactly. It's about hitting that sweet spot,
yeah.
You know, reducing the dimensions, but still keeping enough there so our models can actually do their thing, like we saw with those accuracy scores.
Yeah. And what's amazing is this all applies to so many different areas. We talked about handwritten digits, but then there's finance, genetics. I mean, it's everywhere.
Oh, it really is. And the examples we talked about, those are just like scratching the surface.
Oh, wow. So like where else is PCA being used?
Well, there's image compression, facial recognition, those recommendation algorithms. I mean, it's really pretty vast.
So PCA is like a total game changer in a lot of ways then.
You could say that. It gives you the power to uncover these hidden patterns and then use that to make smarter decisions no matter what you're working with, whether it's financial markets or, you know, even something like genetic data.
It's like, I don't know, like having a superpower for understanding data.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like that.
So for everyone listening out there, think about this. What kind of data do you work with, you know, every day? What could PTA uncover? What kind of insights are hiding there?
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting thought. And remember, PCA is just one tool, right?
Yeah.
But it's a powerful one.
For sure. And once you get how it works, it can really open up a whole new way of looking at things.
Exactly.
So everyone out there, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep on deep diving into the world of data. Until next time.